The following presentation is not suitable for young children. Listener discretion is advised. On April 1st, 2001, an American naval intelligence plane jetted across the sky over the South China Sea, only 70 miles off the coast of Chinese territory. The aircraft and its crew were several hours into a signals intelligence mission, an operation designed to collect foreign intelligence by picking up information from foreign communications that could prove useful to the United States government. By 2001, China was on the rise as a major economic powerhouse. Its economic reforms implemented several decades before had paid off. It was gaining influence on the global stage, enough power that the United States felt it had to keep a close eye on it. That day, American naval forces were doing just that. The mission was going smoothly, at least until the plane bearing an American naval marking was spotted deep in Chinese airspace. The United States' relations with such significant communist forces were rocky in the best of times. Now, an intelligence-collecting airplane had been caught soaring suspiciously close to Chinese territory. Two Chinese fighter jets patrolling the airspace over the South China Sea raced towards the American plane to intercept it, repeatedly passing dangerously close to its wings. The maneuvers were like warning shots meant to frighten away a trespasser, intended to intimidate the American aircraft. But a pilot in one of the two Chinese fighter jets miscalculated its tactical approach as he went in for another pass. Instead of flying in close proximity to the American aircraft yet again, the pilot collided with the American plane. In a burst of flames, the Chinese jet went down, killing the pilot inside. The American naval plane began to spin out of control. After a heart-pounding few minutes, the crew stabilized the aircraft, but it had sustained too much damage to make it to American soil. The decision was quickly made on board. The crew would have to land the plane on Chinese soil, on the nearby island of Hainan. As the damaged plane coasted into an emergency landing on Hainan, the crew scrambled to destroy classified intelligence on board. Once they landed, the Chinese government seized control of the aircraft and the 24 members of the crew. For a tense 11 days, the United States negotiated for the crew's release as the Americans on the aircraft were interrogated by Chinese officials. The Chinese government also tore the naval plane apart, managing to recover the bulk of the intelligence despite the crew's efforts to destroy it before landing. Finally, on April 12th, the crew was released from China. It was allowed to return to the American territory of Guam. However, tensions still ran high between the two nations. Americans were furious that the 24 crew members had been detained by China for so long, and some Americans chose to act, but not with physical violence, but with online violence. Hackers across America, fingers poised over their keyboards, decided on their own accord to assemble and to take up the fight against China through their screens. Leading this charge was the mysterious group Hackwiser. These hackers, a relatively new network on the scene, had gained notoriety in recent months for defacing websites in America. Now, they turned their online firepower against an American adversary. Only this time, their online graffiti could do much more than inconvenience internet users. It could shatter an already fragile diplomatic thread between the United States and China. Hackwiser was about to start an international incident. On this episode, All Out Cyber World War, the infamous hack of the Girl Scouts website, and one hacker's role in the FBI. I'm Keith Korneluk, and you're listening to Modem Mischief. You're listening to a bonus episode of Modem Mischief. In this series, we explore the darkest reaches of the internet. We'll take you into the minds of the world's most notorious hackers and the lives affected by them. We'll also show you places you won't find on Google, what goes on down there. This is the story of Hackwiser.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
In March of 2001, Americans were anticipating many things. Springtime was approaching, summer was on the horizon, and perhaps most exciting for some, it was Girl Scout cookie season.
Hooray!
Across America, girls clad in Girl Scout sashes and badges were selling cookies door to door and enticing potential buyers with well-known Girl Scout classics, from Thin Mints to Tagalongs. Thin Mints are my favorite. It was a fun season for the children, getting a taste of entrepreneurship, and for adults purchasing the cookies who received their own tasty treats and subsequent weight gain. But on March 10th, some hackers decided to seize hold of the Girl Scout cookie season and twist it for their own fun. That night, in the middle of the weekend, members of the Hackwiser group hacked into the Girl Scouts of America website and plastered it with Girl Scout-inspired gibberish. "We demand cookies for all the hackers," they wrote across the website page. "We need Samoas, Thin Mints, and some Tagalongs. Oh, peanut butter patties." Playful banter ensued on the remainder of the page, in which Hackwiser took credit for the hack. They signed off by adding, "Now we can get some girlies." These silly, largely harmless ploys for attention were not new modus operandi for Hackwiser, which had gained a reputation for defacing major websites and smearing web pages with its rather immature and obnoxious online personality since the group's founding in 1999. Aside from the Girl Scouts of America, its target included the likes of Microsoft, Sony, and Walmart. Like most hacker groups, they were driven by their desire to prove to the online world that they were capable of hacking these sites and leaving their own quasi-inappropriate calling card on its web pages. Hackwiser wove its sense of humor into its work. Even the hacking group's name was a joke of sorts, a play on the name of the popular, and now more controversial, beer, Budweiser. Shortly after its Girl Scouts of America hack, on April 19th, the group set its sights on CyberNanny, a filtering software intended to be installed on desktops to block access to websites identified as inappropriate for children. Of course, the irony of the situation was not lost on Hackwiser or its members. The group proceeded to plaster the CyberNanny site with vulgar language in a three-part attack, beginning with an initial vulgar defacement, followed by a defacement claiming credit by posting the Hackwiser logo on the site. By the following day, CyberNanny was still struggling with yet another vulgar piece of online vandalism. Ironically, though, Hackwiser had transformed the CyberNanny site into a website that the company itself would likely deem offensive and ban in its system. Among the hackers attacking these sites was Jesse Tuttle, who had already built an impressive hacking portfolio by the time he received the invite to join Hackwiser in 2000. He started with distributing pirated software in 1994, only to descend deeper into the fray of the hacking world in the late 1990s, as he began to hang out with and learn from other hackers and hacking groups. In 1999, he started defacing websites in the usual Hackwiser style to try to establish a name for himself and make more connections in the hacking world. When he was invited to join Hackwiser in 2000, he was overjoyed. He was in. In honor of the event, he christened his hacking identity with the online name Hackajack. During the next few years, he became active across multiple hacking groups, including World of Hell, which gained notoriety in 2001 after launching several high-profile attacks against major corporations. World of Hell would target weaknesses in website security and, like Hackwiser, would deface the websites to leave mischievous messages. And if you'd like to learn more about World of Hell, listen to episode 50 of Modem Mischief, which we just released. Hackajack had a knack for finding loopholes and flaws in its systems. In typical Hackwiser fashion, Hackajack kept it playful, even sprinkling in some public service. He would sometimes leave notes for the systems he hacked saying, "Hey, I hacked your system. Here's how I did it, and here's how you should patch it." With his extensive expertise, it didn't take long for Hackajack to rise to a position of prominence in Hackwiser. But when the American spy plane incident in China occurred, the fun and games turned serious. The defacements they had done just for kicks were now overshadowed by a new era of Hackwiser, ushered in by Tuttle. Now they were more than just internet clowns. They were hacktivists with a political agenda in mind. As news of the defacement of the American crew in China rippled across the online sphere, Tuttle became angry with the actions of the Chinese government.
How could they detain and interrogate the crew?
He reached out to Hackwiser members and some fellow hacking groups saying,
"We're Americans and we're patriots. We have to do something."
So, in April 2001, dozens of hacktivist groups, alongside members of Tuttle's own group Hackwiser, answered the call. They assembled, but this time their targets weren't set on the Girl Scouts or Cyber Nanny or on major American corporations. They swiveled their sights across the Pacific and aimed for the country that had angered Tuttle and other patriots so much. Project China had begun.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Though China had shown the first signs of aggression in the real world, Americans fired the first shot in the cyber war that was just beginning to brew. Hackajack led the charge by launching his own damage on Chinese online systems. Staying true to Hackwiser's tried-and-true online graffiti tactics, he hacked dozens of Chinese government websites and defaced them with anti-China rhetoric. He even pulled a few networks run by the Chinese government offline. Hackajack served as the proud face of the hacktivist movement, taking on the role of spokesperson to the media for Hackwiser and other groups. When speaking to the South China Morning Post, a democratic newspaper based in Hong Kong, he sent a clear message to the Chinese hacker groups across the Pacific, saying,
"We wanted to get their attention, and we won't stop until these groups cease to exist and we humiliate them."
As expected, Hackajack's words and his defacements of major Chinese websites did not sit well with Chinese hacker groups watching their own country's systems get ravaged by American groups. They took Hackajack's words and Hackwiser's defacements as a challenge. They were ready to retaliate. A major cyber war, the largest the world has ever seen, had now begun. Throughout the month of April, American and Chinese hacker groups exchanged fire, flexing their expertise by aiming to take down high-profile websites. American hackers managed to find their way into the website for China's remote sensing satellite ground station and deface it with a photo of a mushroom cloud. The Project China hackers continued to leave threats and challenges for Chinese hackers, vandalizing one Chinese website with this message:
"Get ready to meet a strike force with the strength the world has never seen before. We are going for all-out cyber warfare on your gov.cn boxes and every other box that you fucks haven't secured."
But Chinese hackers, not to be outdone, clapped back with a strong surge of hacks, vandalizing websites for the National Institute of Health, the Navy, the Department of Labor, the California Department of Energy. They even hacked the White House Historical Association website and covered it with Chinese flags. The war raged on. Just within the month of April, the American Project China hackers successfully hacked more than 100 Chinese sites, and Chinese hackers had remained in stride, with the Honker Union of China, a Chinese hacking group we just covered on Modem Mischief Episode 51, defacing more than 80 websites. And like we said, if you'd like to learn more about the Honker Union, go back in your feed a little bit and you can listen to it. As May approached, the cyber war only intensified, with Chinese hackers breaking into the United States Labor and Health Department websites to post anti-American messages reading,
"Beat down American imperialists."
They also plastered eulogies and pictures of the fallen Chinese jet pilot Wang Wei across the websites. Infuriated by these maneuvers, Hackwiser and fellow groups also went on the offensive, defacing hundreds more Chinese government and commercial sites and posting pornographic photos and messages supporting drug abuse on the webpages. On April 30th, Chinese hackers doubled down, announcing a week-long war on American sites. Both governments braced for impact. The FBI issued a warning about the planned Chinese cyber attack. And China issued a similar warning to look out for large cyber attacks and intensified its internet security surveillance. The cyber war raged into May, with hackers on both sides continuing to deface websites. But then, in an unexpected twist, an editorial appeared in the People's Daily, the Chinese newspaper run by the nation's Communist Party. Instead of supporting the actions of its own underground hacking groups, China publicly denounced the attacks on American government sites, especially the hack of the White House website. They labeled the actions of Chinese hackers as web terrorism, even calling them unforgivable and illegal. It was clear that both China and the United States governments were growing tired of the abrasive, obnoxious attacks constantly pummeling their systems and web pages. After the editorial was released by the Communist Party, Chinese hackers had a decision to make. Was it time to give up the fight? After more than a month of cyber warfare across the world, the online waters finally began to quiet. Chinese hackers were heeding the warning of their government. They pulled back. American hackers seemed to follow suit. A year later in 2001, sensing the risk of resurgence in the hacking war, the Chinese government once more requested that its hackers refrain from drumming up online trouble again on the anniversary of the spy plane incident. The hackers obeyed. The online realm was quiet. The two nations were ready to move past the spy plane incident. And now, the hackers who had taken up the fight were ready too. After all, there were other companies to troll and websites to deface. The cyber war was over. For Hackajack and Hackwiser, the end of the cyber war meant they would spend their summer in 2001 on a search for their next cyber nanny defacement or their next Girl Scouts of America hack. It was back to status quo, at least until September 11th.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
On September 11th, Americans across the country were glued to their television screens, watching in utter shock as the towers of the World Trade Center fell. Within a span of hours, thousands of American lives were snuffed out. It was unlike anything they had ever seen. Most people could do nothing but watch the event unfold in horror. But for Hackajack and his Hackwiser group, who possessed specialized computer skills, sitting on the sidelines was not an option.
"We have to do something," Hackajack told his fellow hackers.
Still riding the rush of the cyber war earlier that year against China, Hackwiser and other hackers launched into a new cyber war, this time against the terrorists who had orchestrated 9/11. Tuttle and his cyber army scoured the online space for Osama bin Laden's cyber team and aimed to infiltrate it. In the months that followed, Hackwiser and Tuttle continued to remain active in the hacktivist realm, defacing websites that seemed anti-American and who they suspected might sympathize with terrorists. Hackwiser was in its hacktivist era, making online ripples felt across the globe. But for a group of computer geniuses bending and breaking rules and laws in the name of patriotism, the illegality was bound to catch up with them. In 2003, Tuttle received a knock on his door in Hamilton County, Ohio. When he answered, he came face to face with local law enforcement. Tuttle didn't know why they were on his doorstep, but for a hacker active in the underground online community, he knew it couldn't be a good sign. "How can I help you, officers?" "You're under arrest," they told him. When he was charged, the seriousness of Tuttle's situation came to light. He was charged with 6 counts of unauthorized use of government property and 10 accounts of possession of child pornography. The potential outcome was dire. He was facing up to 86 years in prison. The 23-year-old hacker was placed under house arrest as he awaited trial. Tuttle himself was confused by the charges, and as his case unfolded, he shared why in a bombshell revelation. He claimed he'd been working on and off with the FBI since he made a name for himself in the cyber wars of 2001. Tuttle said the FBI had sought him out in 2001 and offered him a deal. He could remove his names from some wanted lists and channel his rare computer expertise to help others. But for the next couple of years, the FBI would reach out to Hackajack when they encountered a roadblock in investigation that they believed he could clear. Most recently, they had tapped him to assist in a human trafficking investigation that involved child pornography. "That's why there were pornographic images of minors on my computer," Tuttle explained to law enforcement. But local law enforcement in Ohio weren't buying Tuttle's claims. To them, the story seemed far-fetched. In fact, they viewed the Hackwiser leader as rather delusional. Since Tuttle was operating within the local law enforcement's jurisdiction, any help from the FBI in escaping the charges was becoming entangled in red tape. Still under house arrest, Tuttle braced for a long legal battle as his fellow Hackwiser members watched the famed Hackajack become embroiled in a high-stakes trial. They sensed danger and disappeared into the online ether. Hackwiser had fallen apart.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
By 2007, Tuttle was still walking around his house under electronic ankle monitoring. He'd spent a long 4 years under house arrest as local authorities worked hard to get his charges to stick. From their perspective, he'd broken the law, whether it was for the sake of FBI investigations or not. Finally, after a long wait and many closed-door conversations between federal and local authorities, Tuttle's claims were all confirmed. He'd been an informant for the FBI and had assisted in multiple investigations. Much to the chagrin of local authorities, he walked free. Still, years had passed since Hackwiser had disintegrated. The glory days of hacktivism were far in the rear view. Even with Tuttle free from house arrest, his major cyber warfare days were behind him, and the group never reformed. Still, Hackwiser and Tuttle left a legacy. They revolutionized the role of hacking on the international stage. Hackers no longer existed only to troll companies and government sites. Many groups were formed with new purposes in mind. The actions of Hackwiser and sister groups in 2001 during the spy plane incident, and later after September 11th attacks, inspired a whole wave of political hacktivism at a far grander and more organized scale. As for Tuttle, he took a step back from underground hacking after his exhausting legal battle.
"I told myself I was done,"
Tuttle said. Instead, he segued into tech consulting and software development. For the remainder of Hackwiser, many members remain cloaked in anonymity, but it is thought that former members are still active in the online underground. I'm Keith Korneluk, and you've been listening to Modem Mischief. Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of Modem Mischief. If you like the show, we'd love it if you shared it with your friends and give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Modem Mischief is brought to you by Mad Dragon Productions and is created, produced, and hosted by me, Keith Korneluk. This episode is written and researched by Emily McGinn, edited, mixed, and mastered by Greg Bernhard. The theme song You Are Digital is composed by Computer Bandit. Sources for this episode are available on our website at modemmischief.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Modem Mischief and slide into our DMs. You know we love that shit. Thanks for listening.